Okay, so it was on a Thursday afternoon that Russ sent me an email to say that unfortunately he just wasn't feeling well enough to come this morning. So he sent me his talk, and I'm going to deliver his talk. So that'd be fun, won't it? So one of the things that Russ really, really loves at Christmas, well, I think all the time, but particularly Christmas, is Snoopy. I don't know if anybody can remember Snoopy. Yeah. So we're going to watch a little video. And you need to watch it carefully because there's a question about something that happens in the video. Okay?
We're back.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you we'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. To all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas. I'll take this little tree home and decorate it. And I'll show them it really will work in our play. Commercial dog is not going to ruin my Christmas. I've killed it. Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Maybe it just needs a little love. Charlie Brown is a blockhead, but he did get a nice tree.
Something happened to one of the characters. Anybody want to have a guess? There was something quite significant. If you know the story of Charlie Brown and some of the characters, anybody know what one of the characters did something? Now Linus was speaking. It was Linus who did something. He didn't just speak. But when Linus was talking from Luke 2, did anybody notice what he did with his blanket? He dropped his blanket. So if you know Linus in the story of Charlie Brown, he never, ever lets go of his blanket because it's his security blanket. But when they get to that phrase, and he says it in Luke 2, he says, "Do not fear, do not be afraid." He drops his security blanket. And when he gets to the end of the talk, he picks it up again, and I wanted just to reflect, and what Russ has done is he wanted us to reflect on four phrases that are in the Christmas story. And if you've got a Bible, we'll just quickly look at them, very quickly. And we're going to start off in the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to have a look at the Gospel of Luke. Or look at the Book of Luke. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Thanks, Mike. That's just for you, Mike. I can see you laughing. So, we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And it's a story around Zechariah. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, and he's being told by the angel Gabriel that Elizabeth, that's his wife, will become pregnant in her old age. Okay, so it's in verse 13. We'll just read a couple of verses. So we'll pick it up at verse 11 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him." So that's Gabriel, the angel, appears to Zechariah. "When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John.'" Now, this was really, really unlikely to happen because Zechariah and Elizabeth were old, probably past childbearing age. They didn't have a child, but the angel appeared to Zechariah, and Zechariah and Elizabeth had to move their position. They were in this place where they were in a place of being really, it's really unlikely for this to happen. And if you read through to verse 25, Elizabeth says, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from amongst the people." So let's go down to verse 30. Let's just carry on. We're still in Luke 1. This is the story now of again, Gabriel, who was very busy in this period of time, because now he appears to Elizabeth's cousin, who is Mary, and we'll pick it up at verse 30. So the angel has appeared. Mary's greatly troubled. You would be, wouldn't you? Because you're a 15-year-old virgin who's been told you're going to have a baby, but there's no sex involved. So she's greatly troubled. Like, that's an understatement. But he says, the angel says to her, Gabriel says to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus." And Mary, again, goes through a whole process from a point of, I suppose you could say, a place of astonishment, to a place where she gets down to verse 38. It says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And then go into the next chapter of Luke, chapter 2, in the story of the shepherds. Now this is post-Jesus being born, and the shepherds are out watching their flocks. I wanted to say washing their socks, but I better not. That's not in the script, just so that was me. Just that wasn't Russ, don't blame him. So, 2:10. So the angels here are watching in fields. An angel of the Lord, it's probably Gabriel again, says to them, and appears to them, and then the glory of the Lord shone around. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And then as you go down in verse 15, the shepherds move from this place of surprise to a place where in verse 15 they say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has done, what the Lord has told us about." And then finally, in Matthew's gospel this time, in Matthew's account, this is chapter 1, and this is about how Joseph hears a little bit of the news of what's going on. So we're in verse 20. So what's happened is Mary, obviously, is pregnant. Joseph realizes, he's pledged to her. Verse 19 says, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, but had in mind to divorce her quietly. But then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. It's Gabriel again. So he's going about telling these people what's happening. He says to him in a dream this time, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so what happens for Joseph, he goes from a place of what's almost unbelievable. It's like, how can Mary be pregnant without having sex with another man? Because I haven't had sex with her. So she must have had sex with another man. She's got a baby, to the point where that's unbelievable. How's that possible? The angel appears to her, to him, and so he goes from that place of unbelievable to actually waking up and taking Mary as his wife. And we know the rest of the story. And what I wanted us to reflect on this morning is that sometimes God wants to speak into us in this season. We can be in a place where we're facing the unknown. We're facing the unexpected, we're facing the surprising, we're facing things that are unsettling. We can even be facing things that are unbelievable. But God speaks into those moments by saying to us, "Do not be afraid." And all of us are a little bit like Linus, in the sense that we all have our own security blankets. We all have those things that are in our lives that we take security in. Things that we look to for security. And what we have to be, what we need to do this morning, I think, what God wants us to do is to take our eyes away from the things that are around us, even the things that we sometimes place our security in, and actually put our faith and our trust in God. Because God comes to us with these words. He comes to us with the words at this Advent time, do not be afraid. And it was really interesting that we have those moments of faith. So I don't know if we're reading too much into the story, but as Linus speaks out that little passage, do not be afraid, he drops his security blanket. He has that moment of realization, maybe. I don't know. But he picks it up. And that's a little bit of our journey, isn't it? That we have a moment of faith, and we think, yeah, I'm believing God for this. And then a few days later, a few weeks later, we go back to our security blanket and we pick it up again. And I think what God wants us to be aware of is that he, in this time, the key message for us is that God is with us. He's with us all the time. And he comes to us with that phrase, do not be afraid. And I think right now, if we look at the sort of big picture stuff, there's a lot to be afraid of. You know, was it only last weekend that the whole panic of Oxford Street? I don't know, we probably don't feel it if we don't live in London. But that moment, you can see that actually the whole of the capital city is on edge. That something happened on the platform, and then within like a couple of minutes or so, there's mass panic because they think it's a terrorist attack. 5 youngsters killed in a car crash in Leeds this week. I don't know if you saw that news. The eldest was 23, the youngest was 13. There's just, you know, there's lots in the news that we can read. Uncertainties going on. Brexit. Does anybody know what's going on? Whatever your political view is, I don't think anybody knows what to do. I don't think so. It's unsettling. And then in our own personal lives, I know, I have the privilege of knowing across this congregation, there are situations that are unsettling, are difficult. People have got ill health. People are being diagnosed with cancer. People are struggling with lack of jobs. People have got stuff going on in their family life that's difficult. Breakdowns in relationships. Stuff happening. That's unsettling. That's frightening. That's like, what do I do? And God comes to us at this Advent time particularly, and he says to us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Whatever's going on in the bigger picture stuff, whatever's going on in our own personal lives, what we need to do is make that transition like those 4 characters. We need to move from a place of astonishment, of unbelief, of surprise, and move into a place of worship. We need to that's what happens, particularly with Mary and Elizabeth. They go from that place, and they don't know what's going on, but they say, Lord, according to your word, let this happen to me. And in the video, in the little story, we end up with the whole group of them in a place of worship, where Charlie Brown's right at the center of that, isn't he? They get to a place of worship. And I think that's what we need to do. That's why coming together, Ed and I talk about this sometimes in the office, that one of the keys about Christianity in terms of worship is that we just need to keep turning up. We need just to keep coming and worshiping God. Making that decision that in the sacrifice of our lives, with all that's going on, that actually we're going to come and believe in a moment of faith that God says to us, do not be afraid. And then we're going to come and worship him. We're going to bring a sacrifice of worship to him. Because you know what? It's only on this side of eternity that we can bring a sacrifice of worship. When we've died and gone to heaven, we won't need to sacrifice anymore because the whole thing will be clear to us. And we'll just worship anyway. But now we have a choice. We have a choice in those moments that where stuff comes into our lives, whether that's stuff on the big picture stuff that we watch on the news, or whether that's stuff going on in your life right now. It's like, as God comes to you and says to you, do not be afraid. Our response is, yes, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to lift my eyes off my own circumstances and bring you a sacrifice of praise. a sacrifice of worship. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. And the problem is sight is such a powerful sense that when we see things, they go into our, not just into our sight, but they go into our whole psyche. They go into our memory. They just rest in us. And so we have to renew our faith because we live by faith. And faith says to us at Advent time, God is with us. Do not be afraid. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to come and worship together. We're going to take that opportunity. Whatever's going on in your life, and I know looking around and seeing people, there's stuff going on at the micro level, your personal life. There's stuff going on in our nation. There's stuff going on in the nations. But what are we going to do in that? I think God wants to say to us this morning, do not be afraid. And as we come into worship, then what happens when we come into worship is that our hope is renewed. As we sing our songs, as we declare the truth of who God is, of what he's done for us, I think hope is renewed in us. And that's what the candle's about this morning. That's what the theme of Advent, the first Sunday in Advent, is all about. It's about the hope, isn't it? It's a hope that actually things will get better. So whatever situation you're in right now, our faith and our trust in God says it will get better. Things will get better. If it hasn't got better at the end, it's like it's still not the end. You haven't got to the end yet. It will get better. And even though that might not even be on this side of eternity, it will get better. There's a hope that we have. And I want to stir your hope and renew your hope this morning. And I want to do that by just reading this verse, and then we'll go into some sung worship. So Romans 15 and verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together, shall we?